Welcome to the After Show. This is Fritz Berger at bloodandfaith.com, and we, of course, are going to talk about Christian nations. What's the hardest thing about a Christian nation? The hardest thing about making a Christian nation is getting it into the hearts and the minds of the church, that it's possible, that it's necessary, that it's desirable, that it's commanded, that it's the purpose of God. That's the biggest hurdle. That's the biggest hurdle. It's not, can God do it? Today's Easter. Today's Easter, guys. Guess what? The man rose from the dead. The man rose from the dead. The Son of God, after his body had been in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, physically resurrected from the dead. And we think it's hard to make a Christian nation? No, it's not hard. The problem is that we have allowed ourselves to be seduced by the leaven of the Pharisees. And we've created these man-made traditions that prevent us from imagining Christian nations on earth. Oh, you can't have that. You can't have a Christian nation. Says who? Christian nations are the purpose of God in history. That's the purpose of God. He wants many nations, many Christian nations. Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming back and saying, oh, yeah, you got some Muslim nations, okay, that's fine. You just go be a Muslim nation. That's fine. Go worship Satan. Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming back and saying, oh, yeah, Aztec human sacrifice, we're good. That's fine. No problem. You know, I defer to you guys. Can you imagine him coming back and there's an atheistic nation that refuses to believe in God, basically outlaws the teaching of the Bible in their government schools? Oh, you do you. I don't think so. Holy Scripture says that the nation that refuses to serve the Lord will be wiped out. They're going to be wiped out. The nations that refuse to serve Jesus Christ will be wiped out. And as we learned in Resurrection Sunday this morning, his purpose is for us to go and teach the ethnos. And it's translated the nations. He doesn't even say go teach the individuals. He doesn't say go teach the individuals. He said go bring discipline to the nations. The Great Commission is to bring discipline to the nations, to disciple the nations, teaching them everything that I have commanded you from Genesis through the Revelation, because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. I had a guy, this is a few years back, but he was getting all righteous on me. Oh man, just preach the red, just teach the red, man. You're getting off on all kinds of weird stuff. Just the red, whatever's written in red. In other words, it has to be the exact words of Jesus Christ. And nothing else counted, nothing else mattered. And like, where does he come up with this? These are called the traditions of men. This is what where Judaism went off the rails. All right, they had the law, they had the prophets, they had all the Holy Scriptures, they had everything that Moses wrote, all the Psalms. But they said, you know what, that's not good enough. We're going to improve that. We're going to improve what God did. And so they came up with their oral traditions. In the time of Jesus Christ, those oral traditions were not written down. They were the traditions of the elders that is talked about in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And Jesus said, look, why do you substitute the word of God for your traditions, for your man-made traditions? It was a real sticking point that Jesus Christ had with the Pharisees. And that oral tradition was later on, a couple of centuries after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was written down into the Talmud. And that's their guiding light. That's what they go on. Yeah, they still have the Torah around, but their guiding light is the Talmud, their oral traditions, which were then written down. And in my opinion, and Fritz's opinion, the evangelical church is, man, we're going down that route. And like, it's not necessary. Why? And you've heard me talk about the rebranding of Jesus Christ to be a kinder, gentler Jesus Christ that's more amenable to the the people that don't like him in the first place. Well, let's just soften him up a little bit. Jesus, the real Jesus, you need to stay back in the closet back there. We'll take care of this. We got a good marketing campaign going on. And so they come out and, you know, they bang some drums and they sing some songs and Jesus loves everybody. And my response to that is, how's that working out for you? I mean, that's, you know, that's just part of it. That's just part of it. And the answer is, in the last 100, 200 years, what's gone on to the nation? What has happened with the nations of Christendom? They've gotten worse and worse and worse. The salt has lost its flavor. It's been good for nothing to be cast out and trampled under the foot of men. Another thing that we've done is said, well, we don't need, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back so soon, we don't need to worry about all this stuff. Just grab a few people. And I talked about that this morning in the Easter Sunday morning service. No, we need to till the soil. We need to plow the field. We need a long-term plan. Centuries. God bless the Spaniards. God bless the Hispanics. It took them 7 centuries to reconquer the Iberian Peninsula from the Muslim, alien, African invader. 7 centuries. Did that stop them? No, it didn't stop them. The Reconquista. They reconquered the lands in the name of Jesus Christ as a Christian nation. And yeah, I'm aware of the history of Spain. They had this area and that area and whatnot. Christian nations, whatever you want to call it. Many different Christian principalities there in Iberia. Later on, they're consolidated. Was it Ferdinand and Isabella? And God turned around and rewarded them. He said, okay, you got this. Now go hit the New World and convert them to Jesus Christ. And they did. They conquered the New World, from North America, Central America, South America. Don't forget, the Spaniards had Texas up to Colorado, California, Florida, all the way down to Tierra del Fuego, brought the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And France and England did too in North America and in some of the Caribbean islands. Christian nations, Christian civilization. All right, there's a reason that Europe was called Christendom. So the biggest hindrance to reestablishing Christian nations is the lack of imagination, the lack of faith in the heart of the church. I know Christians who have made decisions not to have many kids because, oh, we know Jesus Christ is coming, you know, he's coming right around the corner. He's going to be here in my lifetime. And so instead of obeying the first commandment of God, which is to be fruitful and multiply, they cut it off. They said, no, we're not going to be fruitful. We're not going to multiply. And, you know, I mean, I'm not being personal to anybody, but that's really what they thought. And that's what they said. And it's like, no, man, no. Have a bunch of kids and raise them up in the fear of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at the Amish and the Mennonites, big families. They're blessed. And I've said before, I almost think God's left them here in our lands, in you know, North America, as a witness and a testimony against us, but also as a guide for us. But imagine Christian nations. And I know, people say, I don't want to be told what to do and what my religion is. It's too late. It's too late. Look at the world we live in now. You're told every minute what to think and what not to think, what to say and what not to say, what you can say, what you can't say. And I've covered that a lot at bloodandfaith.com. You like that? Well, I don't know about those blue laws, you know. I think the Safeway should be open on a Sunday. And I know, I just was at Safeway. And I'm, you know, I preach to myself too, folks. And it's a grocery store for those outside of the U.S. I have listeners in around the world. I've got listeners, which is exciting to me. Australia, Europe, China. Every once in a while, I get listeners from China. But why would that upset you that you the county passes a law saying, hey, every business is going to shut down on a Sunday? Why would that be upsetting? Everybody sat by very docilely while the government has shut down in businesses for years, your small mom-and-pop business for years, and a lot of y'all went out of business. Nobody got upset about that. You're a little grousing here and there, but nobody got upset about that. Why are you all in objection about the Ten Commandments? What is the foundation of the legal or moral code of a Christian nation? It's the Ten Commandments. Well, I can't believe somebody would impose immorality on me. Well, you live in a society where immorality is absolutely imposed upon you. And we've hit this many, many times at bloodandfaith.com. Can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic, and on and on and on and on. And people wander around saying, oh my God, did I have a bad thought in my head? And I've my perspective, what I've tried to share with people is that you already live in a cult, man. You live in a cult. You live in a cult nation. And they believe weird things. And you think they're right. And if they don't like you, they cast you out of their community. You lose your job. You get kicked out of school. You're ostracized. They call you all kinds of heinous and dirty names. Oh, he's one of them. He's a racist. He's a Nazi. And then they target you for elimination. Once they start calling you Nazi and a racist and all this stuff, they're targeting you for elimination. That's been programmed into us now since the Second World War, at least in the United States. I'm sure it's true in other parts of Europe. You know, once they start talking to you that way, they've already programmed you for elimination. And when the leaders of the country, I'm thinking of Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, call you either deplorables, as Hillary Clinton did, or irredeemable, as Biden did, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. That's serious business when they start speaking about you and I that way. We don't live in a neutral country. We live in a cult. And they have all the institutions of power, including the government schools. And we send our kids, I include myself, send our kids to these cult schools paid for by our tax dollars, and they're taught weird things like LGBTQ and evolution. And the Ten Commandments are illegal. Another tradition that the church has been just wrapped up in is this whole rapture thing. Oh my God, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. We don't have time for that. No, we got all the time in the world. The Almighty may just say, you know what? I'm gonna tarry for another 2-3 centuries or millennia till the church gets it. Over and over and over in the scriptures, it talks about all the nations serving the Almighty God, serving Jesus Christ. And the Great Commission is to go out and make that happen. Convert the nations. The biggest hindrance to this happening is not the devil. It's not the world. It's a lack of imagination in the heart of the church. They just can't even imagine this. And I'm saying, let's imagine it. That's the biggest hurdle right there. We got to believe it. If you want to know what those scriptures are, if you go to bloodandfaith.com and search for Covenant for the Nations, I have a whole Bible study on this. And you can go in there, and I think the opening couple chapters, it's written in the form of a Bible study. It's book length. And it just goes through all the scriptures talking about how all the nations will serve the Almighty. And who's the Almighty? It's Jesus Christ. The Lord God Almighty is Jesus Christ. This isn't a vague, God. You know, we all believe in God. No, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Now, if you have a nation and you're dedicated to your other gods, Moloch, Baal, Allah, whatever, that's not my problem. And if you live in that country and you like that, not my problem. I have no interest in going and changing you. My interest is to tell you what the truth is, and then you all decide. But where I live, we're going to build Christian nations. For my kids and my grandkids and my offspring and my inheritance, I'm going to convert those that I can convert, and we're going to build Christian nations. Many nations will have already rejected Jesus Christ, and they will be destroyed. All right, and the United States will be destroyed too if we're being destroyed. You reject Jesus Christ, you will be destroyed. The Almighty set apart this land, North America and Australia and New Zealand and many other portions of the world for his people. And over the generations, we've lost that. Now, do I believe in a great revival? Absolutely. But I also believe fundamentally our theology has to change. If God gives us a great revival, the third great awakening, and we're sitting around here, okay, we got the revival, now let's get raptured. And, you know, the Ten Commandments really don't apply anymore because we're red-letter Christians. Yeah, it's a waste. It's a waste. It's an utter waste. You need a reformation of theology. And I don't mean getting rid of the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. I don't mean that. What I mean is we need to get rid of our traditions of men. These traditions of men have infected the Christian church, the evangelical church, to the extent that we don't even know what we believe anymore. Oh, God loves everybody. God loves the homosexual. And that becomes our creed. It becomes our creed, and we're worthless. As a church, we're worthless. The evidence for that is the state of our societies. It's the state of our societies. That's the proof. That's the proof I offer you that the church has become good for nothing. It's the state of our societies. We're supposed to be the salt and the light, preserving those societies. We're supposed to be converting the nations. But what's happened is that the nations are converting our children. And I've seen it in homeschool families, Christian schooled families. Your kids grow up, they go away. Next thing, they come home and they're a blue-haired lesbian. Oh, I just can't believe that. Well, I do. And I talked about this on a podcast the other day. The pilgrims went through this. They left England because they couldn't serve God because of the laws in England wouldn't let them have a Christian community. They said, we're going to have our own Christian nation. That's essentially what they said. So they left and they went to Amsterdam, and they found that although they could have whatever form of religion they wanted there, their kids were being converted by the world. So they said, well, this doesn't work, so let's have our own Christian nation with our own geography that we don't have to share with anybody else. And they went to North America. And go read the Mayflower Complex, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a Christian nation right there. Jesus Christ is Lord, right in their founding document, the Mayflower Compact. This isn't something that's never been done before, folks. This is our history. It's the history of Europe. It's the history of Christendom. It's the history of North America. I believe Canada is the same thing. I know Australia, you were peopled by at least the rumor is that the original settlers there from Europe were prisoners. I bet you 50, you know, $500 you got your own Christian history in New Zealand and Australia too. Why? Well, for the very name, New Zealand, that's got to be about the zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord. And you look at both flags, New Zealand and Australia, what's on there? They recognize the providence of God over New Zealand and Australia. Why do you think they have a cross on their flags? And it's not just the British flag. It's the Southern Cross. You cannot tell me that God did not destine Australia and New Zealand to be Christian nations when he put the Southern Cross over their lands. It's the Southern Cross. South Africa, too, although I don't think it ever showed up on their flag. Time for a new flag, baby. Where I live, I want to live in a land with a cross on our flag, the cross of Jesus Christ. The biggest hindrances are man-made traditions that we've allowed to infect our own churches and the dumbing down of who Jesus Christ is and what the message is. Imagine Christian nations. I am absolutely convinced. I'm convinced of a couple things. Number one, there's a reason that I'm saying what I'm saying at this time. All right? You know, little old me. And I didn't exactly take the easiest course in life. I'm saying these things because an opportunity is coming up quickly to be able to build Christian nations. I understand how bad it looks. I know that. I know that more than most people know it because I'm in the middle of the stuff I'm in the middle of. I got it. But you know what? Gideon had that same problem. The prophetess Deborah had the same problem. I would like to remind you of Moses. He had a little problem. God said, go get my people. And he's like, I ain't Pharaoh, man. Who do you think I am? I'm just some goat herder out here. He was a shepherd of some sort. I don't know what he shepherded. God says, I don't care. Who do you think I am? Moses? You're asking me who I think you are? Who do you think I am, Moses? Who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think's talking to you? Who do you think's commanded you to go into Egypt and bring his people out? Who do you think I am? Some chump? I'd like to remind everybody that today is the day we celebrate for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Who do you think he is? Some chump? Think he's still the naked dude on the cross that we're supposed to have pity for? He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Why do we doubt? Or do you not think he rose from the dead? If he didn't rise from the dead, turn this off, man. I'd go do something else. Most pitied of all men am I if he did not rise from the dead. But he did. He rose from the dead. Moses went in, a little shepherd goes into Egypt, brings out his people. Why, you think because Moses was so smart and he was so strong? He couldn't even speak. He told God, he said, I can't speak. God says, Moses, who do you think you're talking to? Aren't I the guy that made the tongue? You don't think I can take care of that? And here we are sitting here, the devil's taking over. Oh, it's getting worse. Half the Christians are out there clapping because it's getting worse. They're like, oh, God, it's getting worse. This is exciting because we know it's right around the corner. Full stop, man, full stop. We're building Christian nations. We're going in the other direction. And if the Lord decides to show up tomorrow, fine, but we're still building Christian nations. If Jesus Christ shows up this evening after your dinner, after your Easter dinner, guess what? He's going to say, build Christian nations. The order has never changed. It goes up, and it doesn't just start in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It goes all the way back to the first chapter of Genesis. What do you think he was telling Adam to do? Be fruitful and multiply. What, so they can be diverse and have different religions? No. What do you think he told Abraham? Abraham, from many nations are going to come from you. Why? So they could have all kinds of different religions? No, that's not the answer. That all the different nations that came out of the one man would express the glory of God as a nation separately, just like you and I do as individuals. I'm not like you. You don't want to be like me. I'm different than you. And I express the glory of God differently than any other man on the face of the earth. It's the way it's supposed to be. Every nation will be the same way. The Swedes are not the Norwegians. Go ask them. My granddad was Swedish. He married a Norwegian. They don't get along. Why? They're different. Oh, but they're Scandinavians. They're all the same. Well, go tell that to a Swede Norwegian. Have that conversation. Go tell an Englishman that he's the same as a Scotsman. Go tell a Scotsman that he's the same as an Englishman. That'll be a conversation. Oh, we're not. We're different. And we are supposed to be different. But if you take us and mix us all together, then everybody's the same. Why? Why would you want everybody to be the same? Your churches aren't the same. Every church is different. Well, you know. Yeah, I do know. I do know they're different. Every denomination's different. An African church is going to be different than an English church. Well, they shouldn't be. They all mix together in the book of Acts. And you make your excuses and you go on and on and on and on and on. Listen, no excuses. Christian nations with their own lands, their own boundaries, their own territories. Well, it's not scientific. Listen, it's vastly more scientific than the nonsense they're spouting now. I mean, you know, look, you don't even have to have a PhD. You don't even have to be a biologist, do you? And I've told you, this woman that's now in the Supreme Court, she was a prophet to America. She's a prophet to America. God can take any dumbass and turn him into a prophet. It's exactly what he did with her. Smart aleck woman gets up there and said, well, I'm not a biologist. I can't comment on what a woman is. You talk about a prophetic moment, and we still confirmed her to go to the Supreme Court? That's called a prophetic moment. We're sitting there listening to this woman, who's apparently a woman, which is why Joe Biden nominated her. She can't define what a woman is. Are we lost or what? Don't talk to me about science when this is the state of our nation. Don't talk to me about science when the state of our nation is we can cut off body parts, drill holes, fill kids with hormones, and call them, instead of a male, it's a female, and yet the XY chromosome doesn't change to an XX. Don't tell me this stuff is scientific. It's not. It's a cult. It's a self-destructive, abusive cult. That's what we live in. That's who we're governed by. It's time to overthrow it. Oh, you're in an insurrection. Jesus Christ was crucified because he was accused of insurrection. He stirs up the people and he teaches them all kinds of things. Go read it. I covered that this week in the podcast. Go read it. He was numbered amongst the transgressors. They came out. They said, oh, he's trouble. There's another king. He says there's another king. He's a subversive. And you know, the churches will, they run to Romans 13 and say, oh, not us. We'll just obey. We'll do whatever you want us to do. I love Peter. Peter's my favorite, man. He's sitting in that upper room. He's, you know, remember the sheets are going up and down and rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, I can't do that, Lord. He says, God says, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And finally, he gets a message and he said, yes, Lord. So he goes into the Roman centurion's house to preach the gospel. He didn't know why. He had to go see this guy. First thing he said to him is, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, wait a minute. Caesar's Lord, according to the Roman centurion. He's a Roman military officer. You're going to go to him into his house. First thing you're going to say is, there's another king besides Caesar. That's what Peter did. That's what Peter did. Jesus Christ is Lord. That was a political statement. That's not a religious statement. And the church has convinced itself that they follow a religion. No, I follow a king. I follow the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I follow truth. I'm a truth seeker. And it's not hard to see. It's right in front of you. I believe in the scientific process. You formulate a hypothesis and you begin testing it. And you test it. See if it breaks, see if it stays, see if it doesn't stay. Well, they sure don't do that anymore, do they? Have they ever tested a hypothesis on homosexuality? But homosexuality is a death cult. It lasts exactly one generation. It does not biologically reproduce. Only way they reproduce is they... I won't talk about that. It's a death cult. Okay, there's nothing scientific about it. Transgender, same thing. It's just there's nothing scientific about it. Evolution, there's nothing scientific about that. Entropy does not work in reverse. Things go from a higher state of order to a lower state of order over time if no design and no work is put into them. But that's the scientific fact. And somehow it all of it gets reversed. So that's it, man. It's Christian nations. We're just gearing up. We're just starting. We're going to build Christian nations. Ezekiel 37. The vision of the valley of the bones, that applies to Christendom. We've already had the great falling away. I'm telling you, guys, we've already had the great falling away. Oh, we're looking for the great falling away. No, it happened. Began 2.5 centuries ago. Began almost 300 years ago. In the heart of Christendom, that was the great falling away. We've already had the great falling away. Okay, Ezekiel 37, we're talking about a revival of God's people. It's about God's people. It's not about people who rejected the Almighty God. It's about God's people. And we're going to have a revival of Christendom. We're going to have a revival of Christian nations. That's the future. That's the present. And we're in a moment in time when things are changing, and they're changing fast. And it looks like the devil's winning. But I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I want you to hear me. He's panicking. He's panicking. He's not winning. He's panicking. He's freaking out. He is in a fit, and he's trying to lock this thing down as quickly as he can and bring it to an end because his end is nigh. And we're going to have a great revival. We're going to have a great revival. But, man, we're going to change the way we look at things, and we're going to build Christian nations. You think you need to be taller than people? How taller have they been of you? You just don't know any different because it's happened over the centuries. Why would they outlaw prayer to Jesus Christ in a government school? Why? Why would they outlaw the Ten Commandments in a government school? There's no reason for this except that they are imposing their cult upon the people. We will have no more tolerance for them than they have for us. By God, we're going to put the Ten Commandments back on the walls of any government schools, if there are government schools. Government schools are not a requirement. And, you know, there's all these naysayers. They're going to come up with 50 reasons why they don't like this. These Christian, so-called Christian pastors have written whole articles against Christian nationalism because they're trapped under their own man-made traditions. It's the leaven of the Pharisees that have gotten in there. But they're fine, I guess, with these government schools that undermine faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a figment of somebody's religious imagination. He's the great king. He's the Son of God. And we will have nations that will worship him as the Son of God. This is Fritz Berggren. This is the After Show. BloodandFaith.com.